Sports Radio 1290, CFRW, Winnipeg.
I'm still shaking right now. I'm just honored to be included in this draft class.
A division of Bell Media. Sports Radio 1290 presents the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 3 hours of in-depth analysis, insight, and opinion into Canada's game. Now, here's Drew, Richard, and Ezra.
I hope it's not bittersweet.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, I really, if it's bitter, there won't be anything sweet about it if it's bittersweet.
It better be all sweet.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want any bitter. I'm not in for it for bitter. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 10:30 in the morning, 90 minutes down, 90 minutes to go. We'll be taking your phone calls, your emails, your tweets, everything along those lines.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Goaltender for the Thrashers organization, let's just call it that. Chris Mason, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Thanks, guys. I'm getting to be a regular on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate you giving of your time, Chris. Let's start with, what do you know? What have you heard? Anything from the organization at all?
Nothing from the organization at all. You know what? Like, you guys, I've just had a lot of family members in the last couple of days call me, and, you know, as soon as the article went out in the Globe and Mail, phone started ringing off the hook, and people telling me the news and all that. So nothing from the organization. I don't expect to hear anything over the weekend, but who knows? We'll see next week.
So, Chris, you know, obviously you haven't heard anything from the organization. Have you been chatting with teammates about it?
Yeah, we've kind of done, a little texting, communicating, through text and all that, and everybody's just kind of wait and see, and, you know, nobody knows how it works. You know, you don't know if if Atlanta is going to be the ones to contact you, or if the deal goes through, you get, contacted from the league or from the, True North or what. We're just all kind of waiting anxiously to see what the outcome is here.
So, Chris, you mentioned the outcome, and are you anticipating, hearing the news from the mainstream media, or are you expecting to get a call from your agent? What can you tell us about how some of the players are expecting to know for sure if they should basically, start looking for homes in Winnipeg?
Yeah, to be honest, I think the sports media does a good job of getting the stories. I know in the past a lot of guys have found out they've been traded through the media, and they get it almost as soon as it goes through the league with, various sources everybody has. So that's probably, I'm out in Rimby, Alberta, at a ball tournament right now, so there's no TVs out here. So if anything goes, anything happens, I expect, either the media or phone calls from family. But we'll wait and see, and I can tell you next week.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Chris Mason. He's a goaltender in the Thrashers organization.
he is, and he's under contract for next season. And Chris, by the looks of it, and as far as I can tell, unless you tell me otherwise, you haven't played for a Canadian team for a season since you played in Prince George in the 1996-97 season. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And so, I heard Brian Little this week talk a little bit about, how exciting it would be to play in front of a packed house and a really, really passionate Canadian fan base. Can you speak a little bit, I know you spoke about it last week a bit, can you speak a little bit about it again, how, excited you'd be to call Canada home and play on a nightly basis in front of Canadian passionate, really, really Canadian, really, really passionate Canadian fans?
Well, that's always been, a dream of mine to play in Canada and play in front of, people who grew up playing the game, love the game, and that's their passion. And I just love, when I come back to Red Deer in the summer and, you get to talk to people that, you grew up playing with and even people that just, play beer leagues, which I'll probably be doing in a few years here, and just love the game, But, it's just where people in Canada love hockey, and it's such a passion. And I'm not taking away from anything from the fans down south, because I know a lot of passionate hockey fans down there. But, when you're born and raised in Canada, it's a little different.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Chris Mason. He's a goaltender in the Thrashers organization. Chris, we're talking about the excitement, the buzz that the players would feel playing in a packed house and everything else. But, with great adulation and being adored by everybody comes great responsibility. Can you talk about that dynamic as a player, about how, you have to take the good with what might be the bad, the extra scrutiny, that sort of thing?
Yeah, obviously you're going to have a lot more media outlets following you and covering you in Canada. And it's just, it'd be a great learning experience for a lot of guys. And, you know, you have to watch what you do. And I think the accountability's got to be there on and off the ice because, you know, you're going to be accountable to the media, to the city, and to your teammates every game. So it's going to be, I think it would bring, you know, the best out in a lot of players because, you know, sometimes you get off a little easier in the southern markets. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to play in three great cities down there, but I know that it's, you know, you're under scrutiny. You're getting asked questions after practice about not performing well in practice up in Canada sometimes. So there's a little more to worry about there, but you know, I think in the long run, it's a better situation. It makes you kind of more accountable as a team.
To the point of attention, you know, Chris, in that same Brian Little interview that I was referring to before, you know, he spoke about being in Atlanta, and he said that he only got recognized outside when he was going for dinner one time at all during I think 3 years in Atlanta. Did you get recognized there often, or is it, you know, kind of a relative anonymity?
Not often. A couple times. The only time actually is when I had a beard and a couple people recognized me from, I think, you know, my bald head and a beard. But that's the only time. And you know, 99% of the time you go out and nobody knows. And, you know, that's cool, too. That's pretty fun. But, you know, I'm sure up in Canada, if, you know, if you play on a Canadian team, pretty much regardless of your status on the team, everybody's going to know who you are. So that'll be different, too. But, I mean, I don't know. I remember growing up idolizing guys on the Flames and Oilers. I lived in Red Deer my whole life. And, mm-hmm. you know, to see them out, and I got a chance when I was younger to, you know, meet some of the Flames, and they were all great guys. And, I knew every single one of them. I knew every goalie in the NHL. And when I got to meet them, it was a pretty cool experience that, you know, I still remember to this day. So it would be a good opportunity for the guys to, you know, go back to the roots and, you know, give back to, the, you know, the kids and all that, you know, in the Canadian communities.
Chris, two-part question for you. It's Ezra here. Have you thought at all about whether or not you're going to keep number 50? Should you switch teams? Because after the show's over, I'd like to go pre-order my jersey if I can. And the second part of the question is, would you like me to show you around the new bars and restaurants that have opened in Winnipeg since the last time you were here? If the NHL announcement does come, just so you know where you should go after NHL games to party.
Yeah, I'm getting a little too old for that, but I'll definitely take you up on some of that. But if it goes through, I'll definitely take you up on that offer, and I'd appreciate it.
Chris, you know, last night on Hockey Night in Canada, Ron and Don were talking about being in Winnipeg for the first game, and I know that you're one of Ron's fan favorites. You guys are both from Red Deer, if I'm correct. Can you talk a little bit about that relationship and how exciting that would be if that were to happen?
That'd be really cool. Like, I don't know. I mean, you guys know what it's like. It's everyone's dream to play on Hockey Night in Canada. And,
yep.
Ron McLean actually lived in Red Deer, and my dad's in the radio business, and they used to work together.
Wow.
Many years ago. So, like, I always appreciate the plugs he gives me on there sometimes if we're playing a game or, mm-hmm. you know, some sort of topic comes up. So I've always really appreciated that, and I got a chance to see him a couple years ago in Toronto and do a Hockey Night in Canada radio show there. But, it's pretty cool.
Chris, so I'm going to go with number 50 then. I'm going to go order. I'm going to go ahead and order jersey number 50, okay?
That sounds good to me.
Chris Mason, goaltender with the Thrashers organization, we thank you very much for joining us this morning and again on the Illegal Curve Hockey Absolutely. Show. And we hope to see you live and in person in Winnipeg in the very near future.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me again.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, take care.
Take care.
I can tell you right now, he's going to be one of the fan... Never mind media favorites, he's going to be one of the fan favorites because he sounds, and as he can speak more to this because he's talked to him more than I have, sounds like one of the nicest guys you're ever going to come across.
That's right. 2 weeks in a row we've had him.
And why don't we just, you know, use our imagination for a second and envision Hockey Night in Canada here next year. In October, first game, Ron and Don and the Jets or whatever they are winning, and then Mason coming into the studio after, and, you know, because Terry pulls in his boys and having a little sit-down, and how cool that would be.
Well, you know, it was funny. Yesterday on Twitter, Bruce Arthur of the National Post, who's a frequent guest and a frequent co-host on TSN Radio in Toronto, was saying, you know, that he imagines there's a lot of people who remember where they were when they officially announced that the Jets were leaving. I was going back. I sent him a message in response to that. I said, I remember being in line in McDonald's in the drive-thru, crying.
So things haven't changed.
Yeah, exactly.
Crying because I was in line at McDonald's.
Crying. They didn't have Big Macs.
You guys, you're ruining my comment.
Sorry.
Crying while I was ordering my Happy Meal. So
it's a sad meal.
Exactly. I said the irony of that isn't lost on anybody.
When Drew goes to McDonald's, he gets the sad meal.
Yeah. Well, at that day, it was a sad meal.
Crying because the frozen yogurt wasn't indeed frozen.
Oh, for the love of God. Why do I bother? Let's go to break. When we come back, more of your calls, your tweets, your emails. Kurt Kiel back for the final hour live in studio. Let's get it done. You're listening
Start
to the
me
Illegal
up,
Curve Hockey Show. In the morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Can't believe that we've already flown by so quickly. We were joined so far this morning by Gary Lawless of the Winnipeg Free Press, Tim Campbell of the Winnipeg Free Press, Robin Short of the St. John's Telegram, who reported really crack of dawn this morning that the Manitoba Moose are going to be moved to St. John's, Newfoundland to become the AHL affiliate of whatever the NHL team in Winnipeg is called. That was the real big news this morning, so you can see the dominoes are beginning to take effect and come into play here. We were thrilled that Robin was able to join us on short notice. Still to come, Kurt Kielback, the voice of the NHL in Winnipeg, is going to be joining us for the final hour of this morning's show, live in studio, taking your calls, really anything along those lines. We want to hear from you. You can contact us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. You can also send us an email, drew@illegalcurve.com, or you can give us a shout. Michael Remus is operating our phones. You can reach him at 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. Calling from out of town.
Just tried to make a last-ditch attempt to try and get, Randy Carlisle on today's show, but he's at the Mem Cup, so he's unavailable.
He's at the Mem Cup, so he's unavailable? That's okay. Well, I'm sure we'll be able to hear from Randy at some point in time in the near future.
Pretty sure we have Dan Manouk on the line.
Yeah, we're going to wait. We're going to get Dan on in a second.
Do we?
Yeah, it looks like that's
good. Look at the pre-call hype we're making here.
There you go. They're just working, they're just going to hit the button, and we're going to get our good friend. He's a buddy of ours. So,
worst caller ever.
Dan Manouk, hello, welcome to the program.
Hello, Drew.
What's on your mind, Dan? Make it quick. The phone lines are lighting up.
They're not lighting up, Drew.
My question is two-part. One is, has there been any thought given to what the impact of the Jets coming back would have on other teams in the NHL, i.e., would there be an increase in fans going to the games to see the Winnipeg Jets? I would suggest there would be. And secondly, is there a big team for... Is there a number one contender for the rivalry issue?
Well, the rivalry. Let's start with the last question first. The rivalry issue is a big one. I mean, throughout the history of the Jets, you sort of saw three teams that, you know, in different stages were the Jets' rivals. I mean, of course, it was the Oilers in the 80s, as we could never get over that hump. You know, the Jets. Some of the Jets teams in the late 80s were, you know, top five teams in the NHL. They just had the always unfortunate, they always ran into the Oilers juggernaut in the playoffs and could never get over that. I mean, the heartache has been well documented. Calgary is obviously a rival. I mean, they're the only team that the Winnipeg Jets franchise was able to beat in the playoffs to win a round. And in the early 90s, it was the Canucks. And for whatever reason, I think it's the Canucks that are going to be our chief rivals to start, given the symmetry of the Moose and the farm team and everything else. Yeah, I mean, you know, people. It's sort of always, you know, boggled my mind how people could cheer for the Canucks or the Oilers or the Flames.
In terms of your first question, more fans coming to the games. Well, if they're in the division with those three Canadian teams, that won't change because those teams sell basically every game anyways. But I would see a little bit of an increase in attendance, probably in Minnesota, for some fans going down to those games. I think more importantly, the PA and the overall economics of the league, this team will make more money than Atlanta, which will drive up the cap a bit and will drive up overall revenue, which will mean more of a pie for the players. So overall, I think it means more money for the league. Whether it means more attendance at away games and such, I'm not so sure. I think that's more dependent on the players on the team and if there's a superstar that emerges.
That's right.
Last big comment would be back to Drew's comment there, saying that there would be a rivalry with the three Canadian teams, obviously. Well, the initial alignment has them in the Southeast, so that would kind of make the dynamics a little bit interesting for a rivalry to show up.
That idea, I'm going to cut in here for a second, Drew. That idea just to me is lacks so much in terms of logic and is
lacks foresight.
Yeah, and it's so burdensome. It seems to me that either is a false report or is a reflection of the National Hockey League's inability to act on the move. I don't know. I personally don't think it's true. And if it is proven to be true, then I can go on more of a rant about it.
And Dan, I just want to quickly say that obviously Winnipeg's big rivalries were in Western Canada because you remember the old Smythe division, but you have to also think that when the Phoenix Coyotes come here, they might only be in the league for one more year. Who knows? But that game is also going to be bring a lot of attention with the whole ex-Jets and all that, right?
Yeah. Dan, we appreciate the call. Thanks very much.
Thanks, guys.
780-1290. If you're calling from outside the perimeter, 204-780-1290. We want to hear from you. Whatever is on your mind, you want to talk about the Thrashers players, you want to talk about the team name, you know, whatever's on your mind, we want to hear from you. We've got pretty much open phones for the next up until 12 o'clock. And, of course, we have Kurt Kielbach joining us in studio for the last hour. So if you want to talk to Kurt about some of your memories of him doing a game, by all means, that's why he's coming in.
Drew, speaking of other teams, are we going to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs, or is this a no Stanley Cup playoff show?
Look, if somebody wants to call in and talk about the playoffs, by all means, we're never going to say no to you.
Can I call in and talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs?
The playoffs are going on?
Yeah.
Playoffs.
It's surprising.
Playoffs.
Exactly. But email we got about the team name, viper@mediaplayerforums.com, says the vast majority of Winnipeggers/Manitobans recognize the Jets name and want it to be the Jets. If it's going to be Manitoba, it could still be the Jets, but if they want to take away the Jets, he wants it to be the Manitoba Blizzard.
Not bad. You could go to Dairy Queen after and get a Blizzard, Drew.
Yeah.
They have those new small ones, Drew, so you get a small Happy Meal and those small little Blizzards.
Make sure they turn it around to let you know that it's a real Blizzard, though, Drew.
Cam in downtown on line one wants to talk about the team name. Cam, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We've lost Cam.
That was
Cam went to get a Blizzard.
Yeah,
that was an awesome call. It's a dial phone. Good job, Tim.
It's not Tim's fault.
It's Remus's fault.
Remus is juggling the phones over there. Looks like we have James in White Ridge on line two. James, welcome to the Legal Curve Hockey Show.
Okay, Daddy's on the phone, so you have to be quiet, okay?
Hey, James.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you? James, how are you doing?
Sorry, you put me on real quick there. just real quick, I think, obviously everyone wants the Winnipeg Jets, but if it's not going to be and it's going to be a Manitoba name, not too many people are floating this one around, but I think the Manitoba Monarchs would be a good name.
Yeah, I you know what, James, I heard that before, and I believe Don Cherry also supported that name, but everyone remembers the big famous picture painting of the Queen. So I would have to think that that's also a good name, and I think that you're right about the Jets, everyone seeming to want the Jets name to stick, but I think Manitoba Monarchs is also has that history angle to it as well, right?
I'm picturing a really nice, like, shield as a crest with some swords through it or something, or maybe, like, a lion's head with a crown on it or something like that. You could do a lot with the name is basically what, because there's so many angles to it, but it's just, I don't know, I just think it's a better name than some of the other ones floating around out there, but... Yeah, just my two cents. As far as when you guys were talking about TSN getting scooped, I thought that was probably the second biggest story of the night after the big announcement, because I watched it very closely when the ticker went on at 8:45. I got a text on my BlackBerry, and of course I went in and started watching it, and I'm thinking, okay, what are they going to say? Is it the ticker sort of just getting you to watch connected at 10 o'clock? And the second period ended, and they went straight to TSN on the desk, and they totally refuted it 3 minutes before Brunt made his announcement live on Connected, and man, did he make, you could tell that Dreger and McKenzie weren't happy. So.
Well, you know what, it's a, look, they're rivals like anybody else in any sort of business, and when somebody gets a scoop on somebody else, that's always what happens.
And isn't it sweeps this week, too?
That I couldn't speak to. It seems like it's always sweeps, so we're not 100% sure. Appreciate the call, though. Thanks very much.
No problem. Have a good one, guys.
Yeah. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. Couple minutes early, but that's what I like to see. Kurt Kielbach, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, well, thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
We appreciate you giving of your time. We appreciate you joining us in studio for the last hour, and I'm sure our callers and our listeners will appreciate being able to talk to you about your memories as a broadcaster of the Jets and everything else.
Well, it's all great. I mean, the memories are outstanding, and the news that came out the other day, phenomenal, and what lies ahead is even better. So it's going to be some great times, and it's going to be all a part and parcel of what's happened in the past as well.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we take an early break here, get everything set up, make sure we're all sure. ready to go. The phone lines are going to be buzzing, 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're joined by Kurt Kiel back in studio for the final hour. Let's have some fun with this, folks. 780-1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Shortly before 11 a.m., a little jump to be quite apropos for our topic of the conversation on today's program, and that has, of course, been all about the return of the NHL to Winnipeg. You know, thrilled to be joined in studio now by Kurt Kielback, you know, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets. You know, growing up, I remember many a night, you know, lying in bed as a kid and listening to you when they're playing a late game out in the West Coast or wherever they are. You know, thrilled to have you in studio, and we want to hear from you. You know, Kurt's willing to take, has been nice enough to come in for the last hour, wants to talk to our fans. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. Give us a shout. We'll be able to, you know, we'll chat it up. Kurt, it's been a whirlwind, really, 48 hours now. I mean, after the excitement of Thursday night, we had you on the air Thursday night. Now that we can sort of take a step back, is the excitement still at the same level?
Oh, I think it is. I mean, you don't get over it that quickly, and I think particularly the fact that it's a long weekend now, and people have an opportunity just to kind of sit back, relax, maybe not enjoy the sunshine so much, but spend some time with friends, and I guarantee you, a key topic of conversation is definitely going to be the return of the Winnipeg Jets and the pending announcement.
Absolutely. I think it's probably what is on the front and center on most people's minds. The phone lines are already lighting up. Let's go to Guy in Westwood. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Guy, are you there?
You got him or no?
No, looks like we've lost Guy. Guy, if you're around, give us a call back, 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. Keep the calls coming, you know, exactly what it is. It's, people are at a fever pitch. I mean, Thursday was the appetizer, let's say, going to the people, the few hundred, 500, 600 people that went down to Portage in Maine. But I think everybody's now just waiting for the official stamp from the NHL. The deal signed and sealed. It may not be delivered just yet, but everybody's ready and on tenterhooks.
Yeah, it always seems that they want to tease us, doesn't it? I mean, we never really get to enjoy it. And so I basically elected, and I can tell by the sound of the broadcast that I've heard here and the callers that you've had here and even listening to Chris Mason. He was outstanding, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, people know it's going to happen, and they've decided to celebrate it, and let's just go with it, because eventually we'll just expand the celebration.
That's exactly right, and I feel the exact same way, Kurt. I mean, I like how it's, you know, Thursday, the report, and a reputable source, confirmed, two sources, all that, confirmed by a number of other media outlets, and people are just starting that celebration, and whenever that formal announcement is, that'll be, you know, the celebration can continue.
And that's a good way of putting it, Richie. I mean, I think that's it. I mean, it's sort of hard, you know, as a journalist, and I mean, I'm not a formal journalist, believe it or not, but as a journalist, you know, at what point, Stephen Brent was obviously confident and prepared to go with what he had.
Absolutely.
Is it official? No, but he didn't say it was 100% official. He said, look, it's a done deal in all but the official sense of the word. Let's go to Jim on line three. He wants to talk about what people are going to respond to Gary Bettman. Jim, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Well, hi, how you guys doing?
Doing well, Jim. What's good on your mind?
Well, you know, when the Jets left, it wasn't Gary Bettman's fault, the decision to leave. We had a city council that covered, $32 million in losses, and unfortunately we had to leave. Now everything's turned around full circle. Our city's strong. We got a good mayor. We got a great province as far as strength and economy-wise, so now is the perfect time to be coming back. Those same people that don't like Bettman, are they going to stand up and pat him on the back and say thank you very much?
I think that's a very fair point, Jim. Thanks very much for the call. This, you know, Gary Bettman's been made out to be this, Count Bettman, the guy, you know, this evildoer. You know, that's not how it worked. You know, the finances of the NHL at the time, and I mean, Kurt, you can speak to that. You were there, you know, front and center. The finances just didn't allow for the team to be successful.
No, the situation was the ownership not as well healed as the new ownership is going to be, not by a long way. The arena was antiquated, and the Canadian dollar was only 62 cents. There were all kinds of things that went on. And now, of course, it's a totally new ball game. I don't think personally Gary Bettman is very happy about it, and I guarantee you that he'll take the ice center ice in the home opener for the Winnipeg Jets, whatever they're going to be called, and he will be booed unmercifully. And I have no problem with that response. I mean, he hasn't exactly endeared himself to Winnipeg with the way he's handled things in the last little while. He's made it apparent he'd rather not come here. But I don't think there's any options open. And Atlanta is not going to maintain ownership of that hockey club. But Tom Glavine has come out and said, hey, I can't find anybody to join me. And I mean, he's a pretty popular figure in Atlanta. And so where else are they going to go? There's nowhere else where there's an arena. This is a last resort. So I don't give Gary Bettman a whole lot of credit.
Let's go continue on. The phone lines are buzzing, 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. We have Guy in Westwood. He's back on line one. Guy, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hi, Kurt. Long time no see.
Hey, Guy, how you doing?
Great, thank you. Just wondered what the nickname would be. I kind of like Winnipeg Victorias, because then we would have three Stanley Cups.
There you go. Yeah,
good point.
You know, that's up in the air. No, and nobody really knows, and we appreciate the call, Guy. You know, everybody's got an opinion on it. Lots of people are insistent on the Jets, and for good reason. Lots of people want something different.
Kurt, I'm going to put you on the spot. If you had a choice, or if you had a preference, would it be the Jets?
100% Winnipeg Jets. I mean, this team has a rich tradition. I didn't like what I read in the paper a while back where the term failure was associated with the Jets. I thought, where is this guy coming from? Three Avco Cups, Bobby Hull, Anders Ulf, Teemu Selänne.
That's right.
The list goes on. Dale Howard, that's failure? No, that's accomplishment. And this team, they're the first to beat the Soviets. A lot of that happened in the WHA days, but a lot of Teemu Selänne set his rookie goal-scoring record as a Winnipeg Jet.
Hasn't been beaten yet.
And it never will be. Right. And this is something to be proud of. People go places and they say, go Jets, go. Even at the North Dakota there for the World Junior Hockey Championships. The biggest souvenir seller in Winnipeg is Jet paraphernalia. I can't see where there's ever any doubt about what the name should be. People are in love with the Winnipeg Jets for the most part. I can understand maybe the Victorious thing, and I can understand that some people will have a more of an inclination to the Moose, because that may have been the generation that they've been a part of. But even the young people who were 12, 13 years old when the Jets left still identify with the Winnipeg Jets. And their kids of the older, slightly older people identify with the name Winnipeg Jets. You know, I traveled in the NHL with the Phoenix Coyotes for 10 years, and I can honestly say I don't think there was one night, one arena, one game where I did not see at least one Winnipeg Jet jersey in the audience, no matter where we were, be it Atlanta, Phoenix, Los Angeles, Minnesota, Toronto.
I'm watching the Blue Jays game last night.
And there was a guy on the
A woman and a man wearing two Jets jerseys.
It's everywhere. They're universal. Let's go to line four. Blair is in Manitoba. He wants to talk about how the True North running the team will be different for the organization. Blair, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I just kind of wanted to, first off the bat, it's funny that Kurt Kielbeck's on there. My dad used to love the guy so much that he got an autograph for me, I think, the year the Jets left when I was about nine or so. So just thought I'd throw that in there. It's pretty cool. But yeah, I was thinking if if True North is going to be running the team, obviously, whether they'd put their own people in place, you think they would do that, and whether Craig Heisinger, you'd think with a solid base of like young talent that they have in Atlanta with their good defense and good young goaltender with Pavelich, that the team could start getting some success right away.
I'm going to turn to Richie on that one. Blair, we appreciate the call.
Blair, we spoke about it a little bit yesterday morning. We had a special show from 6 to 9 there, and from what we're hearing, Rick Dudley's not going to come along, and I think maybe what's maybe being worked out, if it hasn't already, is severance packages for some of the people who are not going to be joining the team in Winnipeg. But by all accounts, it appears that much of the Moose brass will kind of take Mr. Heisinger and whoever else it may be may go into those roles. Now, obviously, they have to expand the staff significantly, because the NHL staff is far, far, far bigger than an AHL staff is, but that seems to be the sentiment right now.
Let's go to 780-1290 if you want to get in. We got, I think, one or two phone lines that might be open. 780-1290 if you're calling from outside of the city, 204-780-1290. Brad in St. Fatel, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hello.
Hi, Brad. How you doing?
Hi, good.
You're on with Drew, Richard, Ezra, and our special guest, Kurt Kielbach.
Kurt Kielbach. So are you going to cover the Jets again?
Well, I'd like to. I'll tell you that, but we certainly haven't got into that yet. But we got to get the team officially here first.
That's right.
And then they'll start, haggling over the rights. I'm sure there's going to be at least two or three radio stations in town are going to be after them, including 1290. And it's going to be interesting too with the television side of it. But if I can get involved, believe me, I want to.
That would be absolutely great. I grew up listening to you. I was wondering if I could talk you into maybe having Bufflin do a wraparound, if you could call one of those.
It's funny you should say that, because I have found the hardest job that I have ever had to do is try to mimic myself. No, seriously, it's very easy to do during a game. But, you know, I had to do that Thursday night. They had me do an Essence of the Save.
That's right.
I've been listening to 1290, and it seems to be about once an hour this thing comes on.
Yep.
And I thought, oh, how embarrassing. I hate it. And I said, I wish they'd find a real call to put on there, because I'm thinking people who hadn't heard me before, this guy is awful. So, he scored!
There you
and
go.
I hope that's the last time I have to do that for a long,
time. We'll see if we can find one up on YouTube. Yeah. We'll play it.
I mean, you know what else? Here's something else we can use. I heard you talking a little bit before about the division. I find this really interesting. If the Winnipeg Jets start in the Southeast Division, do you realize that means Alexander Ovechkin will be here three times next year? The Tampa Bay Lightning, Marty St. Louis, Vincent LeCavalier, and Steven Stamkos will be here three times next year. Those are six games with some pretty high-profile players that in years after, once the divisional alignment is set up as it should be, we won't see those guys very often.
You're right. So if they have to play the year...
Usually Ovechkin call, maybe. That might be a little bit better.
That was that crazy goal that he got behind us.
That's right. Actually, the one off... Yeah, that was in Phoenix. You're absolutely right.
But, I mean, yeah, if you can find one by a current... It doesn't matter to me.
Find an old Kurt the Jets one.
Tim or Remus are going to work on that.
We'll come back into the next segment.
Kurt, I was going to quickly say, I did an imitation to you, and I did a disservice to you, but... I can say that growing up, I'm turning 29 this summer. Drew's a little older; he's in his mid 50s. But no, we're all in the same age group.
We're all in the same age group.
But I can tell you that throughout my life, I also echo the sentiments of a lot of callers. We're going to get that. You know, you were the voice of the Jets, and I grew up listening to you. And all of our friends have always gone with your calls and mimic your calls. And maybe, a better thing to do for our callers would be maybe to get them to call in with their imitation.
Yes, better that than me. I just do a terrible imitation of myself.
But you're speaking there, Ezzy, about, the history of the franchise.
Yeah.
And Kurt was speaking about it before in terms of, it was a good history, not a bad history. There were tough years, but there were tough years in many organizations. And the thing is, Kurt, if they're not in the Smythe division, and they're not playing against Calgary and Edmonton every year, maybe we're talking about a team that makes it to the finals a few times.
Well, yeah, that was the deal in those days. You played within your division. They were in the Smythe division at that time, the same division as both Edmonton and Calgary. In fact, in the year 85, the season that finished in 85, mm-hmm. the Jets had the fourth best record in the entire National Hockey League, right. And they just got by Calgary on the last day to finish second in the division.
Yeah.
They won their last 13 games of the season, or went unbeaten in the last 13 games of the season, to beat Calgary by a point, which made them fourth overall, Calgary fifth overall. So now you've got the fourth and fifth best teams in the entire league going head-to-head in the first round. Your prize after that? You take on number one, which happened to be Edmonton.
Let's do one final call before we go to commercial break. Sean and Fisher Branch, you've been waiting patiently. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Sean, are you still there?
Yeah, there we go. No?
Nope. Let's go to line one then. Let's go to Steve in Calgary. Nope, we lost Steve too. Okay, let's go to break. If you're still, the calls are coming and going pretty quickly.
Sean and Steve can call in. We'll get him on the way back.
That's right. Everybody, that's 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. Let's go to commercial break. When we come back, more of your calls, more of Kurt Kielbach. We're here till 12 noon this afternoon. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290.
That
that legendary call. Keith Tkachuk's 50th goal into an empty net, the final regular season home game, 95-96. You remember that game pretty well, I'm sure, Kurt.
Oh, yeah. It was a tremendously emotional time, of course, and for everybody involved. But at least at that time, it extended things at least long enough to go into a series against Detroit, which is pretty good, too. That series against Detroit, that game Nikolai Habibulin played in Detroit in particular, and to force another game. And it was just like he kept living day to day, and eventually, of course, it came to an end.
Absolutely. Let's continue on the phone line, 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. Daryl in River Heights, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Very well, thanks. What's on your mind, Daryl?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the name, going away from the term Winnipeg Jets. I just want to get you guys' opinion of if they went a different way, don't you think that it would actually hurt merchandise sales? As obviously you read the papers today, apparently Jets gear is selling out everywhere. And I think it's not just because the NHL's coming back, it's just because of the love and the passion that you have with the name Jets. I mean, I remember, like Kurt says, he traveled around the NHL when he was broadcasting. I went on holidays in the craziest places in Alabama and Florida, you know, small towns in California, and I'm wearing my Jets pullover, my Jets top of hat. They come up to you, hey, I remember the Jets, you know, in the 80s and 90s, and I used to go to Kings games, or, I mean, that's a sign that the name Winnipeg Jets is a lot more than just hockey. It's a representation of where we're from, and I think True North would be absolutely careless in this case to not go back with the name Winnipeg Jets.
Daryl, appreciate the call. Thanks very much.
You know what, Drew? To that point, I have a friend who is in a conference in Nashville, and he decided to go to a Predators game. This is in March, and he told me he's in the washroom, looks over, there's a guy in a Jets jersey. Starts asking about the jersey. And you know, at the end of the conversation, he goes, you know, are you from Winnipeg? Do you have any ties to Winnipeg? No, I like the city, I like the team, and the jersey's cool. Like, it has cachet.
Well, you know what else, too? Because people recognize that there's a passion.
That's right.
And any team that's been supported through abstention for 15 years, it is a sign that there has been tremendous passion. And I just don't understand the point in throwing it all away. It's a universally recognized name.
That's right.
And I may have mentioned this before because we've talked to a lot of different media outlets in the last little while, but I remember talking to some of the Swedish players. And growing up in Sweden, their favorite NHL team, almost everybody in Sweden, was the Winnipeg Jets. Why? Because Anders and Ulf came here, and this is where Lars Schubert came, and this is where so many others came. To this day, there's a pretty good following, particularly in Scandinavia, for the Winnipeg Jets, or at least there would be. There was until 1993 or 96.
Let's keep going with the phone line, 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. The phone lines are jammed. If you can't get through, you can always send us your messages on Twitter, at IllegalCurve. Send us an email, drew@IllegalCurve.com. Let's go to line four. Mark in St. Vitale, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
What's on your mind, Mark?
Kurt, great to hear your voice. I just want to tell you I'm turning 40 this year, and I made it through those lean student years and 15 years without the Jets, and it's going to be really nice to have a team back, and I can finally afford to pay those high NHL ticket prices. But my question for you is, I spent 3.5 years down in Atlanta, and I never known it to be a hockey town.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you had that you were there for the Coyotes. You had done your sports casting for them. I'm assuming you've been to Atlanta.
Yes.
Tell me about the crowds. Were the crowds big? Were they small? Were they loud? Do they really care?
Well, you know what you've got down there? You've got small crowds. They're not particularly loud, but no matter what hockey market you go into, you've got your core of totally involved people that hockey means anything and everything to. You know, the difference between hockey fans in Winnipeg as opposed to Atlanta or Winnipeg as opposed to Phoenix isn't the degree of enthusiasm that they have for their team in the smaller group. It's just the group that has the enthusiasm is larger and certainly a higher percentage up here. But there are passionate hockey fans everywhere. There were people in Phoenix that wore Phoenix Coyote paraphernalia wherever they went, never missed a game, called every call-in show and were involved totally. It's just that, there were maybe 6,000 of them as opposed to, I wouldn't even want to put a number of how many passionate hockey fans we have in Winnipeg and Manitoba. I mean, you couldn't number it. And the same situation in Atlanta. So there are people in Atlanta who are going to be hurt by this, who are big hockey fans, but they're just not enough enough of them.
And actually, I think we said that it was either yesterday morning or Thursday night. The days are blending together. You know, we're thrilled that the team's coming back, but we don't take any joy in the suffering and the pain that the Atlanta hockey fan is feeling. Yeah, those emotions are still raw for most of us when the Jets left back in 95, 96. So while we're happy to get our team, it's never at the expense of somebody else. We don't take pleasure in their pain whatsoever. Let's continue on the phone, 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. Lance in West Kildonan, he's on line 5. Lance, how are you doing? Lance, are you there? No, looks like we lost Lance. Okay, we'll continue on. Let's go to line...
We're batting 500 right now.
Yeah, you know, the people are eager. Let's go on to line 2 with Brian in line 2. Brian, how are you?
I can hear Brian. Brian is there.
Brian, how you doing?
Good. Brian. How are you doing, Brian? What's going on?
Good. I got an idea, which would be a perfect thing for the first season when this new team comes in.
Sure.
If Timo Solani would sign one more year because he's a free agent and end his career in Winnipeg and started in Winnipeg.
You know what? I'd love to say that I think it's going to happen. But I don't. I think Timu's going to play. I think he's going to play next year.
After his performance last year, it'd be hard to see him.
I think he's going to play in Anaheim. I think he'll... I bet you he'll be in Winnipeg. I think he'll get an exemption from the Ducks for that first game in Winnipeg. I think he'll be here.
Well, there's scheduling. But by the way, let we should mention that if the team does play in the Southeast Division, and just I'm not in favor of that at all, they would only play Anaheim once that year, and I'm not sure if that's the year that Anaheim would visit them or we'd visit Anaheim. And
that would be bad. I mean, so, if it was to be Timo Solani's final year coming up, and he didn't get to play a game in Winnipeg because the welcome he would get would be outstanding and certainly worth it. But Brian, as for him coming here to play his final season, I think you're a romantic. It's a great idea. Everybody would love to see it, but he's got a pretty good thing going down there. He's just about at the end of his career. He holds all kinds of records for Anaheim, as he did here. So that'd be nice to see, and there's no more classy guy in the game than Timo Solani. But and I know he is excited about the National Hockey League coming back to Winnipeg.
Well, there's the picture from the Vancouver Olympics when somebody was out, and he was in Vancouver, and they saw him at a bar or wherever he was, and he was wearing, just as happenstance, a Winnipeg Jets t-shirt. And that went viral, and that went around the city, and everyone's like, I mean, this guy obviously still has a very soft spot in his heart for the city of Winnipeg. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. Send us your tweets at Illegal Curve on Twitter. Send us your emails, drew@illegalcurve.com. We're going to try and get to everybody throughout the course of the next 35 or so minutes. Line 1, Greg in Winnipeg. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, what's shaking?
Not too much, Greg. What's on your mind?
Nice to be in the presence of broadcasting royalty and Kirk Kielback.
There you go.
In terms of the, I like the Jets name, but we need to find a better logo. I'll say some NHL teams goes away from the wording aspect of their logo. I think this. I think if my opinion would be the red dot with the airplane logo that we used in the WHA days and the early NHL days, that would be my.
Greg, appreciate the call. Thanks very much for joining us.
I think, Greg, what they're likely to do is if they do maintain the Jets name, they will probably have a modernized Jets jersey and keep the other one as a retro one every few games.
That's right.
That's the idea behind it. That's no insight into that. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably what they're going to do. It won't be the exact same logo because they want to sell. I mean, look, they're selling jerseys like hotcakes right now, you know, at all of our stores. They want to
sell. You own stores?
Not at all. Sorry, not Winnipeg stores. Our in the Winnipeg sense of the word. Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, they'll probably update it. I mean, styles change a little bit, but keep the basic concept, I would think.
780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. Line 3, Daryl in River Heights. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Yes, hello. I'm really thrilled to get a chance to talk to Kirk Kielback and tell him how much I've enjoyed him over the years. And I want to tell a quick story. When I was in college back in the late 80s, I was out of province, and I would come home for Christmas, and I knew I was arriving close to home. When I'd get just outside of Brandon and hear Kirk's voice on the radio, I knew I'd come home. You're the voice of Winnipeg, and you always will be.
Daryl, appreciate the call. Thanks very much. Any, you know, I'm sure that's not the first time you've heard that, Kurt.
No, but you know, it kind of warms the cockles of the heart, and I really appreciate it, Daryl. And it's nice to hear nice things.
That's right. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. Let's go to Donato in Winnipeg Beach. You're on with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and Kurt Kielbeck.
Hi.
How you doing, Donato?
Not too bad. How are you guys?
Not too bad. What's on your mind?
Actually, just wondering what you guys felt about, I guess, when the news first came out. They said that maybe an announcement would be made on Tuesday. But I was just wondering, because last night on Hockey Night in Canada, they were talking about, you know, when the owners would have to vote on this. And you saying something about June 21st as a date of when they would do this. I was just wondering, wouldn't they vote on this before that day? Like, wouldn't that be a little bit too long?
Yeah, that would have to be, because the truth is that the draft is about 5 days after that, I believe, in Minneapolis. So if they're going to have a staff in place, and things will get done, you know, whether they're rubber stamping or not. But everything will be formalized for the most part by then, because otherwise, I mean, who's running the draft? Who's running the team? What's the situation there? They can't have that kind of unrest. So I would say that it will be dealt with probably by mid-next week, and I expect an announcement by, it seems like, now Wednesday or Thursday.
Donato, we appreciate the call. Thanks very much. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. Let's go to commercial break. After the commercial break, I just got a response to my email to Stephen Brunt about the conflicting reports. We'll get to that after the commercial break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. In the morning.
I just had a friend BBM me, I guess, on the BlackBerry, asking if the phone was off the hook here. Like, meaning that...
Like, off the hook, like
it wasn't... You couldn't get through. It's actually that the phone lines are...
Off the hook.
Yeah.
As in busy.
In the slang
term. In the slang term of there. There you go. Anyways, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 11:30 in the morning here on Sports Radio 1290. 780-1290. If you're calling from out of town, 204-780-1290. We are joined in studio by Kurt Kielbeck, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets for all those years, the voice of the Phoenix Coyotes for a number of years. Before the break, or throughout the course of the show, there's been some conflicting reports about what's actually happening with the agreement. A story had been on the Globe and Mail website saying that they're, you know, that they were sort of taking a step back from what Stephen Brunt had reported. We reached out to Stephen. I can report this following quote that he just emailed to me. There, he thinks there are some legal technicalities being dealt with. Winnipeg and Atlanta Group, so True North and the Atlanta Spirit Group, have a purchase agreement still in place. So, like with anything of, like with any deals of this level, there's a lot of legalities and technicals and things of that nature that still need to be ironed out. That's what they're working on. Really, more or less, nothing has changed since we first came on the air Thursday evening. That's where we're at right now. So if people are getting a little bit nervous,
Brent is not backing off his story.
I'd get nervous too if Steven started to back off from what he reported on Thursday.
Yeah, you know what? He's got an incredible reputation. He's I think he's an award-winning journalist, isn't he? And he's not going to risk everything unless he's certainly certain of these things. And I've actually been following his coverage since the beginning, and the Globe and Mail has had excellent coverage on the whole thing. So it's good and really well-written.
That's right. And so we appreciate Stephen getting back in touch with us. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. If you are on Twitter and you want to send us a message, you can tweet us at Illegal Curve. Lots of chatter about lots of people sending us links from YouTube of your famous calls that you used to do for some of the Jets games. So it's good to know that your famous calls from the mid-90s and before still exist live on the internet.
Yeah, that is kind of neat. You know, I kind of forgot about that aspect of it. Yeah, but they're out there. They're in cyberspace.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, and that's you know, where people oftentimes for the last 15 years had to go to turn for their Jets memories is the internet and chatting it up with friends. I mean, we all, you know, had different conversations over the last number of years.
Well, Kurt, I just wanted to say, you're actually, in fact, I don't know if you know this, you're actually in a rap video too. Someone, a friend of mine, Rob Crooks, actually made a rap song, and you're at the beginning and end of his rap song, so that's also on YouTube. It's called Jet Song, so I'll have to maybe show you that, you know, during the break or whatever. Maybe we can pull that up, Tim or Remus. But
wow, yeah. I've expanded into a whole new
region. That's right.
204-780-1290. Lots of emails coming in. Drew@illegalcurve.com. And let me just pull this one up. You guys can talk amongst yourselves for a second. Brian Miniker sent us a top 10 list why NHL players will love Winnipeg. And they're, you know, pretty good reasons. There'll be a packed house every single night. The community will embrace the players. You know, there's plenty of to do in Winnipeg. You know, apparently, Brian, I think Ilya Bryzgalov will take issue with reason number four. You say that it's a great place to raise a family because there's a lot of great parks. But as we all know, living in Winnipeg, there are no parks here, according to Ilya Bryzgalov.
No, Drew, there's only back lanes in Winnipeg. There's there's no parks, just back lanes.
Exactly.
You know what's going to be really fun, though, is when the Coyotes come to Winnipeg and Ilya Bryzgalov is introduced as a starting netminder. There's so many things to look forward to, that's certainly one of them.
They were mocking his name at Portage and Maine the other night, according to Remus's report.
That's right.
There's Go Jets Go and the old Bryzgalov.
Yeah.
So they're already starting early. I guess.
He might just
bolt for the KHL.
That's
and avoid
what,
it.
There's lots of talk of him going to the KHL. So there's
maybe he'll get the Winnipeg flu.
Yeah, exactly right. Matt Leibel, you know him as one of the voices here on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Oh, I can hear him over there.
I can hear Matt. He's on the private line there, Tim. I'm not sure if you...
I don't know.
Okay, Matt, call back 780-1290. Tim, you got him?
Yeah.
Matt, are you there?
Do you have me?
We have you there.
Oh, killer. Okay, wonderful.
Matt.
This is very exciting, guys. Good morning. Shabbat shalom. Thanks for having me on.
We'll ask you, off air, we'll ask you why you're not at synagogue right now, but that's a separate issue entirely.
When I heard that you guys were having Kurt Kielbeck on the show today, I wanted to just come in really quickly and tell them, as you heard, Kurt, I'm one of the update guys of the station, joined when the station started, and if I was trying to track why I got into radio, I actually think it was because when I was a little kid, you know, 8, 9 years old, I used to listen to you call the games, like sitting in my bed late at night cheering for the Jets like a hopeless little kid. And it's just like, it's so cool that you're in there right now, and I'm stuck obviously my other job, but I wish I could be in there. But I wanted to tell you, because I've kind of always wanted to tell you, thank you for kind of inspiring me, getting me in, and I'd like to make you proud by letting you know that I made it all the way to Sports Radio 1290. I haven't made it to the Legal Curve Hockey Show yet, but
hey, this is my first visit here too. So, hey, Matt, thanks. I'm glad things worked out for you, and it's a very interesting career path. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, my plan is to call the games for the Jets one day. So, you got to give me pointers.
Okay, no problem.
Matty, Shabbat Shalom. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, Matt's actually, it's ironic. Matt, it happens to be a relative of all three of ours on different sides of the family, each different way. That's odd the way that
as
works.
As long as I'm not related to you, Drew.
Don't worry, Richard.
I'm also not related to you, Drew. I'm related to Matt, but...
yeah, don't worry.
That's
both
confirmed
of you
by birth certificate.
Yeah,
so.
Thank you. Don't worry, both of you. I spent enough time with both of you here. Great piece in the Globe and Mail today from Jeff Blair. You know, Jeff Blair is a Manitoba expat. I'm not 100% sure where he's from.
Morden.
Is it Morden?
Morden boy.
He's a Morden
boy. I read that this morning. It is good.
It is a great piece, and we'll post it up on It's actually already there on www.illegalcurve.com in the Drama in Dixie relocation news feature that we have multiple times per day. Check it out. It's really an ode to Winnipeg, and a lot of people... You know, when the news broke Thursday night, what I found interesting is a lot of journalists and people who really didn't have any ties to Winnipeg spoke so glowingly about Winnipeg. You know, Elisa Dillman of the LA Times spoke just very beautifully about Winnipeg, about how, you know, people, Winnipeg, they dread going to Winnipeg. She said, you know, it was a quirky city. It was a fun city. They always enjoyed themselves, the arena with the Queen hanging down. I'm of the opinion myself that they need to put that post, the painting of the Queen, back up. Kurt, any comment on that?
I'll leave that up to the powers that be. That really isn't that significant to me. But I want to say something about this, you know, how some people maligned Winnipeg. Let me mention Detroit to you just for a second.
Okay.
Detroit is a city that a lot of the buildings are abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, businesses and homes. Detroit is a city that in the wintertime, it's kind of gloomy, lots of gray, lots of cloud. It's not the happiest city in the world. The population is dwindling. There are fewer people. Have you ever heard anybody not want to be a Red Wing?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's right.
Well, So
That's a good analogy.
Well, when you have a
and that's not knocking Detroit. That's just the state of the fact. I mean, when the economy tanked as it did in the U.S., one of the hardest hit regions was Detroit, and it hasn't recovered. And I know that in different parts of the U.S., there's about 18% of houses that are just vacant, and that's why you can buy them for
no money at all. That's right.
And yet anybody and everybody would move there to be a Detroit Red Wing, and there's no reason why that they can't establish that same kind of thing here in Winnipeg.
Couldn't agree more. Hockey players want to go to an organization where they have a chance to win and where they will be treated first class. And we know from their from the way they ran the Manitoba Moose that True North runs only a first class operation. And based on the potential roster coming through the young up and coming players of the Atlanta Thrashers, there's a good chance that that's going to be a winning team for a number of years.
And Drew, just to add to that, and Kurt, wouldn't you think that once the NHL comes back to Winnipeg, and we establish ourselves again as a team, and you know, we get some winning seasons under your belt, you're going to start to see players wanting to come to Winnipeg just like they do to the Detroit organization.
Well, I can tell you this. Back in about 80-81, when the Winnipeg Jets went 30 games without a win, there weren't many people that wanted to come and play for the Winnipeg Jets.
Right.
But in 84-85, when they had Dale Hawerchuk and Brian Mullen and Laurie Boschman and Doug Smale and Thomas Steen and Randy Carlyle and Dave Ellett and Dave Babich and Robert Picard, everybody wanted to be a Jet.
That's right. And that's players want to go where they're going to win. And if that happens to be Winnipeg, so be it. Let's continue on the phone lines. It looks like line one, Scully, is calling from downtown. Scully, you want to talk about the potential team name?
Yeah. Hi, Scotty. How you doing?
Oh, hey, good, Scully.
I
remember Scully. Scully used to work with the Winnipeg Jets in the very early days.
Yeah, I was with them the last year and a half in the WHA and 9 years in the NHL. And you look at teams and they're scrutinized really good, like Montreal and Toronto. Saudi, how about yourself? Was it kind of tough filling those shoes when the Fryer left?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had the opportunity to learn from one of the best in the late Fryer Nicholson. And I mean, I learned so many things from him, so many stories, so many great times. And he and I became very close. And in fact, I really miss a couple of the people that I had the opportunity to broadcast with. And two of my favorites of all time were the Fryer and the late Don Whitman. And each of those guys, I broadcast with for several years. And in each case, we became quite close friends. And I learned a lot from both of them and from a lot of other people, too. But Fryer was special because he was my first partner. I guess I should say I was his partner back in those days because he had been established in the years of the WHA. He knew everybody. He knew everything. I was a kid fresh out of Yorkton, Saskatchewan. I knew nobody. I knew nothing. And he kind of led me around and certainly got me to the point that I did arrive at.
Scully, yeah, those were some fun days, boy. If it wasn't for John Ferguson hiring me, it was 9-10 years of my life that is just super.
Scully, appreciate the call, Scully. Thanks much.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was nice. It's always nice to hear. You know, it's amazing the high regard that John Ferguson's held in still in this town. I mean, John, it's before our time. I mean, Richard and Ezra's time, we don't have the...
Only the stories from my dad.
That's right. But it sounds like he was...
Almost falling out of the press box.
Hey, well, I can tell you, there was a game one time in Calgary, and I was broadcasting the game, I believe, on radio. And in the first intermission, took a walk down the Calgary press box, and Fergie was sitting by himself. He had a white shirt on. The white shirt was absolutely soaked. His face was beet red. It was the first intermission in September. It was an exhibition game. That's how intense this man is, or was, pardon me.
But, I mean, that's a great memory. Let's continue on the phone line, 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. Omar in Wolseley. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
How's it going, guys?
Doing well, Omar. How are you doing?
Good.
Pretty good. Hey, just as stoked as anybody else. Just want to weigh in on the team name here. It was at Portage in Maine on Thursday. And, I mean, people love the Jets. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I grew up listening to Kirk Kuehl back, 11, 12 years old. And love the Jets. But, when you get in a relationship like that where you're teased and you're... you know what I mean? You're waiting so long for this girl to come back to you, and she doesn't come back. Maybe it's time to move on to another girl. And as much as I love much as I love the Jets, you know, fact of the matter is we got the Thrashers now. So if we're up to me, if I were one of the powers that be, I would definitely keep the Thrashers name, because there's no name more fitting for Winnipeg, because we thrash hard at everything, whether it's thrashing through the snow or thrashing hard at a party. It just fits. Winnipeg Thrashers, Manitoba Thrashers, it just makes sense.
Hey, I got a question. Was everybody in Winnipeg 11 or 12 years old when I was calling Jacob?
I think so. It's a young population right now. Yeah, Omar, we appreciate the call. Thanks very much.
No problem.
Let's talk about that. I mean, Richard, he had an ex-girlfriend analogy, so I'm going to throw it over to you first of all.
The master of ex-girlfriends.
That took you only 2 hours and 43 minutes to get that one in there.
No problem.
You know what? My sentiment is the Jets' name, but I understand Omar's perspective, and if you know, I mean, at the end of the day, before I wanted the Jets' name, and then I was open to other names. The more we talk about the history, we talk to Kurt about it, we talk to friends about it and family about it, and think about it on our own and our memories. It's the Jets' name. It's that history, and I want to maintain it. I don't want to lose it. If you have to get rid of the Winnipeg name and make it Manitoba, I can deal with that. My first preference would be Winnipeg, but. If you have to, you know, if there's another name that comes about, so be it. You know, we have no choice in the matter, but my preference is to keep the name and keep that heritage, because it's just odd if you name it something different, Kurt, then what happens? You know, you have records. Is the record
they keep going.
But, I mean, if Jets record, what, then Jets slash whatever. I just keep the continuity.
That's a fair point. Let's head to commercial break. We got one final segment here on Saturday morning. Kurt Kielbach's with us. I'm Drew Mandel, joined by Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg. Michael Remus is answering your calls. Producer Tim's getting us on and off the air like the expert that he is. One final segment. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the program. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You are listening to SportsRadio1290.com. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined by Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg, and we're thrilled to have welcomed Kurt Kielbach for the final hour of today's program. You have about 10 minutes or so left to try and get in some phone calls. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. We began the show this morning about 2.5 hours ago with a report out of St. John's, Newfoundland, from Robin Short, the sports editor at the St. John's Telegram, who had sources and reported that the Manitoba Moose were heading to St. John's to become the AHL affiliate of the new Winnipeg NHL franchise. Needless to say, not surprisingly, True North has come out and denied that report, but that's pretty much what you would expect True North to be saying at this point.
I speak for myself, at least. I don't think that changes anybody's opinion of that report.
No, I think it comes with some, we had Tim Campbell on, and he reiterated how reliable Robin Short is, and, you know, True North is going to deny up until the announcement, and that's what you expect. They can't be criticized for that.
No, they're anti-ball silly.
That's why they're getting a team.
Right, when it's formally announced, and then they'll confirm all these reports, but Robin Short reporting, if you didn't catch it earlier in the show, and Drew did a good job of getting Robin on the show this morning, announcement, he says, for 1 o'clock next Friday, so
that's right,
6 days away for the announcement of the AHL. So we're making an assumption, and we're qualifying the statement, I'm making an assumption that there is a schedule announcement reported by Brent that would be Tuesday. Some believe now that for, you know, whatever reason, Tuesday may not be the day, but logically we can maybe jump to the conclusion that if the Tuesday isn't the date and Friday is the AHL date, one would probably assume that Wednesday or Thursday may be a logical day. How much longer can you drag this out for? And I don't think that the AHL would announce it before. Obviously not, because
then if it falls through, you're without a hockey team in Winnipeg. I got an email from Mark Pilon, who just actually said that he heard us talking about Solani and the Ducks, uh-huh, and maybe if we are in the Southeast Division, we'd only play them once per year.
That's right.
Apparently, the Thrashers were in Anaheim last season, so it sounds like Ducks would be in Winnipeg if Winnipeg is in the Southeast Division next year.
Wow, we're looking far ahead now.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Exactly. Now I have to remember that when we talk about that later on.
Okay.
That's going to be the difficult part. This is you got about 10 minutes left. 780-1290. 204-780-1290 if you have any questions for Kurt Kielbach. We're talking the return of the NHL to Winnipeg. Send us your tweets at Legal Curve. You can send us your comments on www.illegalcurve.com. You can always send us your emails like those last two people did, drew@illegalcurve.com. I don't know how much longer we can wait. I mean, I will wait, but the truth is I don't know how much longer we can wait. It's just everybody's ready. You saw it on Thursday night how everybody was ready. Everybody is ready to, and they want to let the release happen. They want to be excited. They want to go party.
But at this point now, Drew, I think what happened is excitement has replaced any of the skepticism that existed.
Yep.
And now it's gone from excitement and skepticism kind of balancing each other off. Slowly excitement was gaining a little bit more steam, and now it's just full excitement. There's no more skepticism, and everybody's just anticipating the moment that it gets formally announced, but everybody knows it's going to happen, and that, you know, we're days away.
Yeah,
I don't think the plan was to have Stephen Brunt make the announcement. I think that's one of the problems that they have with it. True North would have liked to have made the announcement. The NHL probably would have liked to have made the announcement even more so.
That's right.
And this way it came out in this way. That's why there might be some doubt about making the announcement on Tuesday. If, in fact, that had been the idea, that might just, as you say, put it off till Wednesday or Thursday. But it's imminent.
Before we get to Sean and Wolseley, we just got an email from Bo, our colleague here who's on FAB. He says that Jennifer Hansen should come back to sing the national anthem. And never mind that. It's apparently, according to Bo, she now lives in Atlanta.
Yeah, I was just going to say, my dad, who's from Flin Flon, Jennifer Hansen's from Flin Flon. That's confirmed. She actually moved to Atlanta after the Jets left. So that's the irony.
Did you just double source Jennifer Hansen's move to Atlanta?
Yeah, she does live in Atlanta. It's confirmed.
I'll tell you what, Roland Ezra. That's right. That's an amazing thing that we're able to source. Let's quickly go. We got a couple callers. Let's do this real quick. Sean and Wolseley on line one. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, guys. Hopefully the Jets have that name when they get here because it's a great name. Here's my big concern is that a lot of articles are written about hockey wives not wanting to come to Winnipeg, their loss. But the big question is, how much push is going to be made to employ, not so much employ, but draft homegrown product? I know we're not going to get Jonathan Toews out of Chicago anytime soon, but how much push is going to be made to have guys that grew up in Manitoba and obviously having a motivation to play for the Jets here in Winnipeg, play in front of their family night after night? How much push is there going to be to get guys to play and stay in Winnipeg? And how many guys are out there that would fit the bill to make it to the NHL?
Sean, I think the big thing is you're going to draft, generally you draft for the best players available, especially under the current bargaining agreement that they have. You know, you get a player for basically a minimum of 7 years, from his 18 to 25 years. It could change a little bit based on certain, you know, certain contract details. But you get a guy for 7 years, you should be likely to hopefully sign him, at least out of after his entry-level contract. And I think what you want the organization to do is draft the best players available. And I realize, you know, that there is some issues in terms of trying to draft maybe more local talent so they'll stay. Sometimes that has the adverse effect and there's too much pressure. I think you draft the best team, players will want to play here. There's less of an issue. If you draft the best players, the team's better, and then players will want to play here regardless.
Yeah, and obviously a tie goes to the local guy. If you're in a situation in a draft where there's two guys that are very equal, yeah, you're going to take the guy from Dauphin or whatever as opposed to the guy from somewhere else.
Now, one of the lessons I always learned was at Calgary, I believe it was, I forget what year it was, when they drafted Brent Cron. I think Brent Cron was a Calgary boy, and the draft was in Calgary.
Yeah.
And I thought that played a significant factor in the drafting of him. He never ended up turning out for whatever reason. But if that is the factor. If the players are even, then I totally agree with Kurt. But if that's pushing one player over another, that's not how you'd lead an organization.
Well, you know, if you look back, different sport, but baseball, the Twins had the first overall pick 1 year, and it was between Mark Pryor and Joe Mauer.
Yeah.
Joe Mauer, of course, they drafted him, and everyone thought that they should have drafted Pryor because he was the better of the two prospects.
Joe Mauer won a batting title, right?
Well, Joe Mauer is a perennial all-star. Mark Pryor had arm problems.
He's in the Yankee system. Yeah.
Is he even in the Yankee system? He's never materialized, so it does factor in, but ultimately talent should win out.
And Drew, I think for Sean and Wolseley, I think usually NHL team, or no, any sports team and their scouting department usually goes by the best player available.
Right.
And Kurt, I think, nailed it. I think that if it was in between two guys, they might lean to the local guy, but I don't think they're going to go out of their way to draft a guy higher unless they really think that he's the best player available.
Let's, Dan from the North End, I think, Dan, you're probably going to be the last caller today, so let's make it count.
Hey, man, great show as always. Thanks for having me on. My question is, with the return of the Jets, fingers crossed, everybody's talking about the portrait of the Queen and where is it? We should bring it back. My question is, what about the Benny outfit? I think Benny was one of the best mascots of all time in sports.
Yep.
Yeah, does anybody, you guys are smarter than me, does anybody know where it is or where is Benny?
Well, I guess
it's a good question.
He and the Queen had this thing.
Yeah. I guess the truth is, you know, the Jets name comes back. I assume Benny comes back, but the Jets name doesn't come back.
I'll tell you, about two weeks ago, Elton John was in town. I was at the concert, and I knew it was a pipe dream, but I thought, how incredible would it be is if the Benny mascot started walking on stage when he was doing Benny and the Jets. I thought that would have been great. Dan, we appreciate the call. Thanks very much. You're the last caller tonight, Dan, so you're in under the wire.
That show.
Go, Jets, go.
There you go. Attaboy, Dan. Richard, what were you saying?
Well, this show is, I mean, I can't believe it's over.
It's flown by. We have a lot of thank yous to get to, and of course, we got to start with our thank yous with our callers and our listeners and our fans who contributed to the show immensely. We do appreciate it each and every Saturday. All of you who called in, we thank you. All of you who sent us emails, we thank you. And all of you who sent us comments on Twitter, we thank you. Follow the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Follow, become a fan of Illegal Curve on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. In case you missed any of this show, it'll be available on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on iTunes. Download it, subscribe. It gets sent to you each and every week. Thank you to Robin Short of the St. John's Telegram for joining us. Thank you to Corey Pronman of Hockey Prospectus for joining us. Thank you to Gary Lawless and Tim Campbell of the Winnipeg Free Press for joining us. Thank you to Chris Mason of the Atlanta Thrashers organization for joining us. Last but certainly not least, a big thank you. Kurt Kielbach, you came in studio for the final hour. We are immensely grateful for that, and we thank you very much for joining us.
Five cheers to Kurt.
That's right.
Yep. Hey, thanks a lot. It was a lot of fun, and I hope I can come back sometime.
Absolutely.
All right.
For Richard Pollock, for Ezra Ginsberg, for producer Tim, for Michael Remus, I am Drew Mandel. I'd say we'll see you next Saturday, but I have a hunch we're going to be seeing you before Saturday. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Stay tuned to Sports Radio 1290 for all your latest breaking sports news. Goodbye now.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for serious hockey talk Saturday morning at 9, exclusively on Sports Radio 1290.